I mean, this was the ultimate action forcing event.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Garden Fork Radio. My name is Eric. This is the Eclectic DIY Podcast. I have this podcast and a YouTube channel called Garden Fork. Today, we're with Nicole. We're going to talk about electric cars in the cold, work from home malaise, and cleaning up your workspace. So welcome, Nicole.
Hey, yeah, this is great.
We had a little bit of a glitch. My really nice microphone just decided not to work. So I grabbed a pair
technology.
Of earbuds.
Actually, you sound great, so no worries. So, Eric, you sent me, we kind of had a little behind the scenes or whatever, text chain chat about these articles that have been coming out in the news since it got super cold that all the EV cars won't work. And my first instinct was like, I think that 90% of the Norwegian fleet of all cars in Norway are electric. So there's a solution. Okay. Like, it's cold in Norway, just FYI. So our EV, I was worried about it too. So Brent got out the manual and read in the manual, if it is 13 below for more than 5 days, then the battery could freeze. But you just need to put a battery blanket on it if it gets that cold. Now, DC, it got down. I mean, it did get cold. It got down to 20 degrees. It's very cold for DC. But even that, I expected us to lose a lot more battery charge, but we didn't experience that. I mean, we probably lost, like, because of the cold, like, one day, 10% overnight. But the night that we had the car plugged in, we didn't lose any. Obviously, we were charging.
Yeah.
Not as fast. Now, what was your experience?
In the winter, I sometimes will charge the car to 100%. Usually, we charge it to 80%. And my car sat in Brooklyn, where it was 20 degrees for 2 weeks. And I think I lost about 4% of the charge.
Yeah. So I don't know. The articles about it are so fear-mongery. That's another like annoying thing about them, where the one guy's like, yeah, the Tesla door froze. I'm like, well, that's not an EV issue. That's a car issue.
Yes.
I've had that happen. We have solutions for that. What is it? WD-40? You spray in the door lock or like.
Yeah. My big issue with this is first, a number of people are like, hey, you can't drive your car in winter, Eric. You know, I'm like, well, yeah. But, and then this is much like the politics and social media of our lives right now. Someone will throw a hand grenade into the fire of social media, and then they establish the talking points of an issue. And then the rest of us who actually know the real life or the truth about it are trying to refute it, and people won't listen because the first person already embedded in their brain that you can't drive an electric car in the winter. And the short, too long, don't read answer is, if you have a driveway and you plug your car in at night, you will have no problem.
I mean, in Montana, when I was little, when it would get cold, we had to plug in our gas cars.
Yes.
Right? We had an engine warmer for our gas cars. And then, of course, you always knew, don't run around with no gas in the winter because the water that is inevitably in your tank will freeze, right? Like, it's not a big deal, guys.
No, and these are baby steps. I mean, batteries in general, whether in your flashlight or your car, don't work nearly as well in cold weather. So what electric cars do is they actually heat the battery. So you're using the battery to heat itself. And there's a term called preconditioning with electric cars. The different car manufacturers call it different things, but you basically use your app to turn on the heat in your car like half an hour to 15 minutes before you leave, and that allows the car to start warming up the battery and the interior, and the battery is much more efficient that way. You get much better miles per kilowatt. But it's just a simple housekeeping measure. And if you are plugging in your car every night or every other night, it's not a problem. What happened in Chicago with the Teslas that were dying as they were queuing up and lining the charges, the people, they live in apartments more than likely. They don't plug it in at night and top up the charge. And they waited too long in a winter situation to charge their cars. They waited for the battery to get down to 20%. And when you're in a queue waiting to charge in, you know, 10 degree weather, blasting the heat in your car, the heating system takes a huge amount of your battery. Not a huge, but a substantial part.
Well, you can see it. That's the fun thing, and at least on the Leaf, you can turn the heat on and see your estimated mileage go down. And so you're like, well, I'm not that cold.
Right. So some people made some choices that they're learning by, and then the news just jumped on it. And then now it's all through social media that your car, I think the number is in Sweden or Norway that there are 30% of the cars are electric and they don't have these problems because the majority of these electric car owners have a driveway or a garage. You know, when we're up at our little house in the evening, we plug the car in to top it up. We get a discounted rate because we won't plug it in during the day. And then when you want to warm up the car, it's still plugged into the wall. So you're essentially using wall power to condition your battery and to heat up the interior. So that's what I have to say.
All right. I'm going to take a little left turn here, Eric.
Okay.
When you brought up Chicago and, you know, being freezing, did you guys watch Station 11?
Is that a TV show?
It was a TV series based on a book. And I couldn't watch the whole thing, but it was so well done that, like, I may have to go back. I couldn't watch the whole thing because it was about a pandemic and the people that are left over. But there's a scene in it where Chicago is totally frozen over. Ah. And, I mean, it was just an amazing photo. And, you know, that's Chicago, man. That Chicago is a hard place to live. It's very cold in the winter. It is very hot in the summer. Great city, though. And the other Chicago show that we're watching these days is The Bear.
Oh, yes.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I actually worked in Chicago for a year. I made TV commercials there at a studio. And I went to SIU Carbondale, which is in southern Illinois, and we would road trip to Chicago. And many of my friends are from Chicago. It is a very livable big city. The subway is great. The buses work great. I call it the land of this two-story building because you go down the main thoroughfares, which are at an angle from the grid. And right. almost all the buildings are two stories, and then there's some four-story ones. But there aren't these giant mega towers like there are in New York City, or not too many of them. But yeah, very livable city. Really nice people live there, I think.
I agree. I'm a big fan. My aunt lives there. She's an actress and theater.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, yeah.
They have great theater there. They have the Steppenwolf Theater.
Yeah, no, they have great theater. Yeah, it's a hard life.
We're just sucking up to Chicago because the majority of Garden Fork viewers live in Chicago, you know.
Oh, they do? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, I worked for a great organization there years ago called the Better Government Association, the BGA. And they were a good government organization. It was my first internship. I got the job because I was from Montana, and I think the executive director at the time liked Montana. Ah. And it was a great job. And this is a total tangent, but they had worked on an arson for profit ring in Chicago that happened in the 70s with Geraldo of Geraldo Rivera, you know, yes. Old school, back when he was just a TV guy, like a news guy. And this is one of my favorite stories. I use it with my kids all the time. So Geraldo says to the guy, "Why have three of your buildings burned down?" And the guy goes, "Well, only two of my buildings burned down. Unless you count the other one." And then there were three. Which I, you know, frequently that's the answer I'll get from the kids. "I didn't eat all the cupcakes." "Well, unless you count the other one that was hidden." So, yeah, I guess I did eat them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't keep cupcakes in the house anymore.
Yeah. That's smart. Anyway, yeah, the BGA is great. Great organization. 10 out of 10.
Well, cool. I like that the Garden Fork radio hosts are officially endorsing Chicago.
Yes. I would say that, yes. I can see, you know, Midwestern people, salt of the earth, you know?
Yes. I grew up there. I was raised in Wisconsin and Missouri. And when we moved to Wisconsin, you know, we were from New York City, and the people there just had some stereotype ideas about us. And we're like, no, we're just regular people, you know?
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Wisconsin.
I got some great life skills in Wisconsin, though. It was, you know, just we could go hunting after school. We could go fishing. You know, we'd literally get on our bikes and no parental supervision, just get on our bikes and go down to these ponds we knew down the road. And the owner let us fish in the pond and, you know, go camping. And all sorts of stuff.
What was that show? This is very idyllic here.
Oh, it was. Yeah, when I lived there, it was really an idyllic state. So,
well, you know, this summer, the kids complained about the camps that I've been picking for them. So this summer, we're doing the GRT, which is the Great Road Trip.
Oh.
So, yeah, they're going to get in the car. We're going to drive around. We're going to go see some national parks. But on deck is Michigan.
Oh.
Because they're going to go to camp there. So we're going to drive out to Michigan. I've always wanted to go to Detroit. I've never been to Detroit.
Yeah.
We're going to head down to Springfield. We're going to, and maybe even go to Arkansas. I mean, we're going large on this.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You could do some remote, podcasts from there.
Yeah, maybe I could remote in from a national park because, you know, I love the national parks.
I love that. Do you have any suggestions for where Nicole should go in the Great Midwest Road Trip? Let us know. It's radio@gardenfork.tv.
Yeah, I look forward.
Nice. So,
all right. So,
what's next?
So, I hope everybody's disabused, right? Like, buy your electric car. Don't worry about it freezing.
Oh, one more thought about the electric car. Is these are baby steps with electric cars. Electric cars are very new to the market. You know, much like when flat panel TVs came out, there were a lot of bumps in the road. With any kind of new product, there's been bumps in the road. And now, 20 years later, we just, oh yeah, Bluetooth. Yeah, Bluetooth just works. Well, Bluetooth at first,
it doesn't actually work. Bluetooth still doesn't work great.
We're gonna keep everyone fooled. Okay, so our next subject.
Well, so the Daily Today, the New York Times is a daily podcast, and today it is about work from home malaise. And it's interesting, the president's got a big push, the mayor in D.C. has got a big push, the downtown D.C. is empty, and it's because the federal workers are not going to work. So they're all trying to get everybody to go back to work, and everybody thought they wanted to work from home forever.
Yes.
But it turns out, and I think you and I have like a different insight into this, or maybe a deeper insight, because we've been working from home alone for longer. It is important to see other people in person. Like, I don't think that it is the natural state for people to work at home alone all of the time. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not opposed to people going back to work some days to like, so the podcast talks about how people's careers are suffering because it's those interactions you have with people, the unplanned interactions, and all interactions when you're at work, when you're working from home, have to be planned. You have to have a call.
Right. It's so, the water cooler effect.
Yes. Well said. Right. The water cooler effect. And, just how younger people are feeling less engaged in their work because
yes,
they don't see anybody. But God, that hour-long commute each way.
The camera operator has quite a staff, and it is worldwide. And she has to travel, actually, to check in. And she says, you know, you have to be boots on the ground because that kind of offhanded, oh, by the way, Joan accounting is being a pain to everybody. You know, that usually doesn't come up in a Zoom call, you know.
Right.
Or this person is struggling with the assignments they have, and maybe we could, you know, bring some other team members on. That doesn't always come across in a Zoom meeting. So.
Yeah, I have a good friend who works in the federal government. He has a position that's important too. And he just goes on and on. He's like, people have got to go back to work. We have got to see each other. You know, things are not working as well as they could. But it is so nice that, you know, Brent, if he needs to pick up the kid, or, you know, he has a little bit more time to like go for a run at lunchtime, or so. I mean, I feel like there's a balance to be made.
Yes.
But like a lot of offices have sold their space. Like one nonprofit that I worked for, they got rid of their space. And so they don't have the option to go back right now, which is also interesting.
Yeah, I have worked alone for years, and I actually have a standing lunch date with one of my best friends every week. And I just will text other friends, like my friend Tony is coming over today because he's going to start a gardening podcast. And
oh, how fun.
I'm going to show him how we record. Maybe I could get him on the after show, like a bonus after show for the patrons. But I want to show him how we use the Squadcast platform, and then how I edit the show, and how we use Libsyn to serve it, and how I upload to Patreon, the bonus show and the bonus pictures and stuff. So that, and he works from home as well. So it's just kind of, I make myself interact with people.
Well, and I used to have my writing accountability group, the WAG, which started years ago, probably 10 years ago, actually. And a couple people were working on getting their PhDs. They've gotten them. You know, I was working on my first book and we met every Wednesday and it was very formulaic. It was set up by Johns Hopkins University to help people finish their PhDs. But, you know, everybody's kind of life situation has changed. Yeah. So we don't get to WAG as much as we used to. But one of my friends on my phone, it says her name and WAG. And she's like, can I get a last name? We've like known each other a long time now. And I'm like, no, the WAG is a form of like, that's love. Like, I love the WAG. But, you know, I thank them in the back of my books. Like, without them, I'm not sure, you know, seeing the people matters.
That's so true. We actually, if you get a dog, you will see more people.
Oh. Boom. Oh, God.
Sorry.
I know, the dog. Then what do I do with the dog on the great road trip? You know, I don't know. This is really like, I was like, we could just take the dog. That's what I told Brent. I was like, we just take the dog. Dogs travel, right?
Yeah. I mean, you might. I mean, do you have a friend that really likes your dog?
We don't have one yet. Oh. This is a hypothetical dog, Eric.
You know, if you're looking for a dog sitter, my sister has had very good experiences with Rover. There's an app called Rover, I believe.
Oh, yeah. My brother Montana uses that, too. He loves it.
And also, we when we went to London, we basically went to our local veterinary practice where we've been going for like 20 years. And I asked one of the vet techs, I just said, does anyone here do dog sitting at people's houses? And she's like, I don't, but a couple of people here do. I'll put it on the group chat. And within an hour, one of the vet techs had called us. And the cool thing was we had not just a regular person, but a person with veterinary first aid, you know, would know what to do with the dogs when there's something wrong. That we totally trusted in our house, and that worked really great.
Did you have to pay a premium for that? Like, I don't know what a dog.
No, she actually underpriced herself, and we said that's too cheap.
Oh,
gave her more money because I always underpriced myself for years. I always was like, oh, I don't need to charge a lot, but I found that if you don't charge people enough, they only call you for the cheap jobs, and when they want something expensive done, they'll call the expensive people. You know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I did a class during the pandemic about photography and that was the same. Like you have to have enough self-esteem to value yourself what you're worth.
Right. When I first started my handyman and contracting business, I was kind of lowballing stuff. And I realized that, you know, they would just call me for these nightmare things and I would agree to them. And then I got finally smart and I was just like, they go, you know, I'd walk in and like, even on the phone, I would just, they'd say, oh, we have some painting to do. I said, it's $700 a room to paint.
Done.
And they either said, yeah, come over or, oh, okay. Thank you. But that way you weeded out the problem people.
Right. The people that, I mean, I hate to say this, but at the end of the day, weren't really worth our time.
Yeah. So don't cheap yourself out. You are, whatever you're doing, you have value. I mean, I've hired a guy to do tile here. He tiled the one bathroom and I said, oh, you know, how much is that? It goes $300. I'm like, no,
said, the that's whole bathroom.
$500.
Right.
And he was like, and I said, look, I said, when you're doing stuff like this, I said, there are only very few of you that want to, will do this in the neighborhood. And he goes, oh, and then he really, you know, I saw the light bulb go off in his head. You know, I said, Good. Look, you show up, you're clean, you do a great job and you should be paid for that.
Eric, causing inflation in Brooklyn.
Well, he has like four kids, you know?
I'm kidding. All right.
Wow, that was a tangent.
Yeah, I don't know how we got there. The point is work from home malaise, good podcast, worth a listen, worth thinking about at least.
Yeah, the New York Times people might roll their eyes at thinking it's super liberal, and it actually isn't. They take Democrats to task as much as they take the far right to task. They, if you've done something bad, it doesn't matter what your politics are. They will make it known to everybody.
You know, I've newspapers have always had leanings. I mean, everybody knows. I don't know. You know. Okay, so you take it with a grain of salt, even if you do feel that way.
Yeah.
Just take it with a grain of salt. Still well researched, well done. Okay, but you know how we bend.
Hey, real quick here. I was wondering if you wanted to join the Garden Fork email list. It's Maura Eric. I don't know if you want that or not. But the best way to do that, if you go to the gardenfork.tv site, there are signups all over the place. There should be one on every page. Also, in the show notes for this show, if you're listening to it in the iTunes app or one of the other podcast app, to click on the little, I think you click on the little text thumbnail of the show and the notes will pop up and there's a link in there. Or just go to gardenfork.tv and there should be a sign up there. All right. Thank you.
Cleaning up our workspace.
So listen, you guys all know I'm super visual. I like to see things. If I can't see something, it doesn't exist. But sitting here at my desk, I'm realizing it's too much. I can't focus. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to approach this. One idea is to go buy another box, another nice box from the Container Store, and just take everything on my desk and put it in the box and like start over, mm-hmm. like go from zero back to what do I actually want on my desk. Cables are a perennial problem.
Yes.
Like they're driving me insane. They're not attractive. So what are you doing with your works? But you had said that you were cleaning up the basement up at the house.
Well, I made my desk incredibly small. I have an iMac. I have a 21-inch iMac. It's a little bit wider than the iMac. And
okay.
That way if there's a horizontal surface, I stack stuff on it.
I'm a stacker. I'm a piler.
And,
yes.
And everything goes, I now just put everything in Ziploc bags. Like all the cables, like that my microphone broke and I literally could open the drawer and find the Ziploc bag with all the earbuds in them, the Apple earbuds.
Yep.
And I just found a pair that I'll plug into the back of the iMac and we were ready to go. I didn't have to search and, you know, and I've gotten better at just putting stuff back in the bag. And then I bought clear containers that sit on a shelf and I use wire shelving, which doesn't collect dust.
Mm.
And they're just clear IKEA or Container Store containers. And then I put, you know, audio cables as one and old hard drives as another. And there's another one for Ethernet and routers and stuff like that, you know,
right.
Wi-Fi stuff. And I have just been getting rid of stuff left and right. And it's
well, that's
so
kind
good.
Of I'm realizing like our basement has become that dumping ground where you're like, oh, this coffee maker, we're not into it anymore. Let's put it in the basement. No, I think it needs to like go live with somebody else.
Yeah.
Like I can bypass the basement step, you know, of putting it in the basement and then moving it from the, removing it from the basement. But it does kind of, I don't know if this is the same with you, but it impacts project management for me. Like I need a better way to think about the three big projects that I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So any ideas for project management? The boys use at school Kanban,
mm-hmm.
which I think we've talked about before. I'm not sure that would work for me, but I mean, I guess I should just try it. Like you don't have to say no to it right away.
What about calling a friend or even having like a hired expert come in?
Yeah. So it's funny you bring that up, Eric, because one of the people I want to get on the podcast
yes.
are these ladies who run this organization called Disrupt Disorder. Great ladies. They're young. I'm going to call them kids, but they're not really kids. They have kids. I'm just old. Started this company where they come in. At first, they were just doing organizing, and now they have a contractor on staff, and they actually rework the spaces. And they actually, they're the ones who came. I think I talked about this on the podcast a couple of years ago. I won an organization because I was such a good fan. I was such a loyal fan that they organized my, they said they'd, you know, pick a space in your house and we'll organize it for you, or, you know, we'll do our magic. And I picked my basement. But then I realized I couldn't have people come and touch all my stuff.
Oh.
So I did it myself.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the weeks leading, I mean, this was the ultimate action forcing event. The weeks from them coming up, I was down in the basement cleaning stuff out, organizing, labeling, making it look lovely. And so they get to my house on the day and they get in the basement and they're like, so what do you need us for?
Yeah.
I was like, I needed you to come. I needed you to show up.
That you were a deadline for them. Deadline for you.
Yes. Yes. It was so funny. It was just really, I mean, just the looks on, I will have to ask them about that in the podcast. Just the looks on their face. They did end up helping me redo the pantry area in the basement, which was helpful. It was great.
Yeah. I love that term action forcing event. If you don't set a deadline, and especially with your partner, if you don't set a deadline and stick to it, if you're just like, oh, we'll just push it another week, then it doesn't happen. So maybe you can make a date with the, who the junk hauler is. I can't remember that national franchise of junk haulers, but you know, 2 weeks out, you could set an appointment for them to come on a Saturday at noon, and whatever's in the basement, gets thrown out at that Saturday at noon, you know?
Right. All of a sudden, everybody's taking action.
Yeah.
You do have to have buy-in from everybody, you know. You know, Brent's working all week. He doesn't like cleaning and organizing is like maybe a little bit of a hobby of mine.
Oh, mine too.
And it's not fun. It's not fun for him. That's not his hobby. He's like, yeah, I don't think I want to spend the weekend organizing. But you know what? I've got good friends who are willing to come over and engage in my cleaning,
but
you know.
This also plays into our mantra about tiny steps, the 1% infinity process, which I did not invent. But with the camera operator, you know, we were going through, we have a shelf of like old documents, and I just present her with one box and I just go, hey, right, could you just look through this? And then we found all sorts of really fun photos that we had been, oh, wow, that's, oh, you know, so we found, and we're going to keep those. But then we realized we had these tax returns from 20 years ago and we didn't need those, you know?
Right.
So, by the way, a lot of towns will offer free document shredding days. So
yes, right. And that's super, DC does that for sure.
Yeah. We just throw them in the fireplace, but you know.
It's a different option.
That's not endorsed. I don't know how safe that is, but if we have a fire in the weekend, I always have some paper documents that I want to liquidate. So
just get them, yeah. Or out in the barrel.
The
camera operator, she can take those out to the barrel.
It feels great to like, and you just, oh, say, so you've got one box empty. Okay. So then the next weekend you grab another one right next to it. And then in 6 months, that shelf or that rolling, you know, that cabinet is clean. Boom.
You know, I the other thing that really I did a couple of years ago where I decided I wasn't going to buy anything on Amazon. Like I just wasn't going to buy anything on Amazon. That you've got to limit the incoming too, right?
Yes.
And that is an area where I sometimes fall down.
Well, my biggest thing is I don't have the Amazon app on any of my devices. I have to go to my laptop and log in. I have to go look up my password every time.
Right.
And I put barriers between me and that. And I also...
Creating friction, yeah.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, like my friend has it on his phone. He goes, oh, I just ordered that. And I'm like, well, do you really need that thing? You know.
I know.
And a friend of mine who took the app off his phone, I don't know how many thousands of dollars it was, but he saved, and he's a school teacher. He doesn't make, you know, bajillion dollars or anything. And he saved quite a bit of money the year he took that app off his phone.
Yeah. No, I don't have the app, but I do go to the website. But yeah.
But if you're going to shop on Amazon, you should go to amazon.com/shop/gardenfork and begin your shopping experience there.
Agree.
We get a finder's fee if you do use that. And there's different subsections I have in there of all the tools I use, generators, stuff I think you might need to do your DIY projects or cooking or pizza making. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, that I think that's a wrap. That's a good show.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And we have a couple more things we're going to talk about in the after show. If you're all interested in becoming a patron of the show through Patreon, I ask for a cup of coffee a month and you get the after show, which is 15 minutes usually of us talking about some deep, dark secret of Eric's and pictures and posts, helpful links that I find. You can also start on Patreon at no cost. It's free. You can just follow me and I post some stuff publicly there in addition to the after show and stuff. So I kind of put out some breadcrumbs about the content that I share with the patrons. It's just more of Eric. It's you know, my what I found a neat YouTube show or an interesting article or here's what I'm working on in the basement, you know, stuff like that. I'm insulating the pipes of my heating system right now. So I post some pictures about that. Very fun.
It's a lot of great dog pictures.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And the dogs. So cool, everyone. Radio@gardenfork.tv. We need some help here, some advice. And if you have some questions about EV cars, we would love to answer those. Maybe you could be on the show. We could, like, you could ask us questions.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone.
Garden Fork Radio is produced by Garden Fork Media LLC in Brooklyn, New York. Our executive producer is Jimmy Goots. For more information about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes, visit hollowbooks.com. The music in the show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.